Shall we now turn to the letter of Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 6. And we shall read from verses 1 to 3. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into his death? And the title I've given this evening is, If We Are Baptized in Christ Jesus, We Cannot Continue in Sin. If you are baptized in Christ Jesus, we cannot continue in sin. This is the striking outcome of being baptized in Christ Jesus. Why is it that a Christian cannot continue in sin? This is because when a person is baptized in Christ, he or she is dead to sin. This means the old sinful man, the old sinful person who is baptized in Christ is put to death. And this person becomes a new person, having the mind of Christ Jesus. This person, whether it be man or a woman, a girl or a boy, becomes a new creation. Now, in order to understand the new, we must understand the old. What I'm saying here is not with the authority and understanding of man, but with the authority of the scriptures. First of all, the scriptures have confined all, every person under sin. Galatians chapter 3 verse 22 says, But the scripture has concluded all under sin. It is the final word that all have sinned. The word concluded means shut up or enclosed. The scripture has shut up everyone under sin as a shoal of fish in a net. There is no escape. No matter how you justify it, you cannot escape, no matter how much you try on your own to wriggle out of it, you cannot. This does not mean that sin is a work of the scripture. What it means is the word of God has revealed the fact that every person is under the bondage of sin from his or her birth. So the scripture says again, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The word glory here is interesting. It means God's opinion. Has fallen short of the glory of God. That is, in the opinion of God, in the judgment of God, in the estimate of God. So the Bible says that all have sinned, and that in God's estimate, you and I and all are not up to the mark. You have missed the target. You have fallen short of His expectation. So you are not worthy, and I am not worthy to have relationship with the holy and righteous God. You cannot freely enter into His prison, into His presence as a child of God can. Now, people don't like to hear this. Psychology tells us that we are good. Every religion tells us that God dwells in us, which means we are good. When it comes to the Word of God, God says, sorry, you are not good. And I do not dwell in sinful heart. So it may be a person's personal opinion that he is a very good person. Probably this person is better than you and me, but in God's opinion, or according to God's estimate, no human being stands anywhere close to God's holiness and righteousness. No person born on this earth, in God's opinion, in His judgment, according to His standard, is worthy of God's blessing. The Bible clearly states in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Psalm 14 verses 2 and 3, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. People try to evaluate their character according to what they do and how better they are from the rest of their friends and neighbors. But in order that God dwell in us, we must evaluate ourselves according to God's standards of goodness. And this is the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ told one man, no one is good except God. And if you call Jesus Christ good, then He is God. He is God. Let us now have a look at ourselves. Every person born on this earth is born with sinful nature. We all agree to that. It is called the works of the flesh. It is called works of the flesh because it is the body that performs it. The person or the soul lives in the body. The body is a medium through which the soul expresses itself. So the body acts according to the influence of the soul, the person that we are. The Lord Jesus Christ had made it known in John chapter 8, verse 34. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. In other words, the word servant is the slave of sin. So we understand through the word of God that every human soul is a slave of sin. Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, the one whom you obey, you are that one's slave, whether of sin or of righteousness. And then in Romans chapter 6, the chapter that we are dealing with, Paul says, you are the slave of sin because you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness. And the end result for being a slave to sin, Paul says, leads all people to death. This is the wages you and I get for being a sinner. Death. And the final reward for being the slave of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And finally, hell. So what is man's nature as revealed by God? The Lord Jesus Christ says, that which comes from the core of man's being, that defines a man. What is this that comes from the core of man's being? According to the Savior, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies, and so on. And Paul, through the inspiration, draws a picture of man's heart, saying in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication means all kind of sexual immorality, uncleanness, meaning lust, things carried out with impure motives, lasciviousness, meaning shameless, things done without any shame, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance meaning contentions, emulations meaning you hold on to unbelief, wrong belief, or some ungodly opinion with zeal or with fierceness and indignation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible says, this is what you and I are. This is what we all possess. The scripture calls every person spiritually dead, meaning no one has the life of God in him or her. We are dead in trespasses and sin. There are people in the Christian world who teach and believe that God dwells in every man. And so we have some great social workers, even Mother Teresa, who did a lot of good work, social work. But on this, she's wrong. God does not dwell in human soul because we are sinners. We are to be cleansed. We are to ask for pardon for our sins. We have to ask the Lord to forgive us our sins. And it is only when He forgives us and cleanses us and makes us new that He can come and dwell in our hearts. So it's a wrong gospel to say that God dwells in every human being. It is a false gospel. It is not what the scripture tells us. The Bible says that we are all sinners. We are dead in trespasses and sins, meaning no one has the life of God in him or her. How did the human race get into this mess? It all began in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, our first parents, got influenced by Satan. Satan seduced them to believe that they could become like God. It was a counterfeit path. Every path that men try to make are counterfeit paths. They all come from the mind of Satan, and they all lead to the same point, to destruction in hell. The moment Adam and Eve believed what Satan said and took upon themselves to do it, they failed to meet the expectation of God's standard. Therefore, they were cut off from the presence of God. Without the presence of God, without the life of God in you and me, we are dead. You and I cannot have the life of God in us. Ever since then, God's word says that mankind has lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. If all of us without Christ are living according to the power of the air, that is Satan, then how can God dwell in us? Instead of having the Spirit of God working and guiding the human race, it is the spirit of Satan that has been working in men. Therefore, they are the children of disobedience. The scripture makes it known to us that ever since then, we have been conducting, carrying out our lives, running our lives in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. Many times we hear the preacher say this, or when we read this in the Bible, we think that the preacher is too harsh and negative, and God is too harsh. He is not positive. There are some who reject the Bible, saying the Bible is negative. There is too much of negativity in the Bible. But ask for yourself these questions. Have you ever lied? And your answer will be yes. So what does that make you? And you will say, it makes me a liar. Have you ever hated someone? You will say, yes, I have. So what does that make you? According to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a murderer. Have you ever lusted after a man if you are a woman? Or have you lusted after a woman if you are a man? Your answer definitely will be yes. And yet we get people who say, oh no, we'll do nothing of this kind. Nothing. But the truth is, we all do. So what does that make you? According to the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes you an adulterer. Did you steal anything at any time in your life? In all probability, it will be yes. So what does that make you? It makes you a thief. Have you taken the name of God in vain? Yes, you will say. So that makes you a blasphemer. And about being covetous, we are at it all the time. Oh, now the team in the Way of the Masters carry out this interview with thousands of people on the street of USA and at times in other countries. And at the end of it, people are amazed that they have never looked at themselves in that way. A new light dawns on them. People begin to understand themselves and are convinced that they are, after all, sinners, breaking God's commands constantly. Otherwise, most of the people think that they are good and doing well with God until you begin to probe yourself with these questions, with these hard questions, and answer them truthfully. Why do we think that we are good? Because we are deceived in thinking that we are good, we are perfect, we love God, and we love our neighbors. The truth is that if you are not baptized in Christ Jesus, you may honor God with your mouth, but your heart is far from Him. And in vain you worship God, obeying the doctrine of men as if they are commands of God. This is not what I say, but this is what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15. So this is a picture of every sinner man. Now, if you and I are baptized in Christ Jesus, we cannot continue with this heart and mind. To be baptized in Christ Jesus means that we have been immersed into Christ's death. And so the Bible says that we are baptized into Christ's death, buried with Him, and since He rose from the dead, we are now risen in the newness of life. Why is our life compared to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? This is so because the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins, our old sinful man, and died on the cross. He became sin for us and took our punishment. The wrath that was to be poured upon us was laid on the Son of God. So our old sinful nature was transferred on Him on the cross. He was punished. And He died because of that old sinful nature of ours. So this means that our old sinful nature died. Moreover, Jesus was buried. So our old sinful man was buried with Christ. So in other words, Jesus carried us on the cross. He became one with us in the sense that He became sin. When God looked at Him, He looked at us sins, and He punished Christ because He became one with us. But then Christ Jesus rose again and gave us new life. Our old sinful nature was done away with, and we were given new nature. The nature of the Lord Jesus Christ was infused in our soul. And so we are commanded that we must walk not with the old sinful nature, but the new nature that is infused in us, so that we can walk in the newness of life. So the scripture says that since we were united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So what happened? Our old man, our sinful body, was crucified with Christ, so that the body that carries the work of sin might be destroyed, crushed, so that we will not serve sin, not obey sin. And the Bible further says in verse 6 of Romans, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Therefore, since we are freed from sin, we cannot continue to sin. We cannot continue to sin because we are now united together in the likeness of his resurrection, meaning that we are united with the risen Christ. We are made alive who are dead in him. We are seated in him in the heavenly places. We have become the citizens of heaven. So then, let this sip into the depth of our soul, that we are made alive and we are united with the risen Christ, and we are made to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What are the works of the devil? Well, why are we talking about this? Because the word says, the word says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. But he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." But what are the works of the devil? We looked into it already, but let us bring it once again before our minds. They are adultery, fornication. Fornication means all kind of sexual immorality, uncleanness, meaning lust, things carried out with impure motives, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. What is reveling? They are noisy celebration, as we can hear the sounds, involving in eating, drinking, dancing, carried out into late nights. It is to do with nightlife. Nightlife. It is difficult for an unconverted person to understand about the new life in Christ, because it has not happened to them. I could not understand it. You could not understand it. Because it did not happen to us until it happened one day. It happened to me when I was 35 years old. And this birth is a spiritual experience that takes place in real time and place. It takes place here and now on this earth. And this is the reason why the true Christian can say with certainty that the Word of God is true, that Jesus Christ is truly risen, because what the Lord Jesus Christ has claimed has happened to us. This is entirely the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, done through the Holy Spirit. So what comes first? The baptism of the water, or the spiritual baptism? The spiritual baptism got to be first. You must experience the death of sin in your life first. You must experience the life of the risen Christ first. You must experience the change of life first. And you must become aware that you have the power to say no to sinful thoughts, sinful acts, and the terrible aversion to everything that is sin, worldly, commercialized, and ungodly. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ means when he said, you must be born of the Holy Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And the word of God says, whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, if you go out of this church and forget what you have heard here tonight, you know for sure that you are not even seeking to make peace with God. It shows that you have no appetite for the things of God. But if you are seeking and longing to have the life of God, of Christ in you, then you will go. When you go home, you will reach out to the Word of God. You will pray that God will help you to understand, and you will plead guilty before the Lord and ask for forgiveness of your sins and earnestly pray that God make you alive in the risen Christ. If you are already the child of God, then it will be a reminder once again that you are united in Christ, and therefore you should not sin. It will remind you that God abides in you, and you should not sin, that you are freed from sin, therefore you should not sin, that you are baptized in Christ, and that you should not sin, that you are dead to sin, and that you are no more the slave of sin, that you are seated in the heavenly places, therefore you should not sin. Let me point out just one more thing that happens when you are baptized in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And having put on Christ, the Word of God commands us in Romans chapter 13 verse 14, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Make no provision. Give no opportunity for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Suppress it. Overcome it. Flee from it. But do not fulfill its lust. In other words, having put on Christ, do not sin. Shall we pray?